During my high school years, when my missionary family was living in Indonesia's capital city of Jakarta, our family physician was Dr. Visioli. Dr. Visioli was in Jakarta serving as the staff physician for the Italian embassy, but he took other patients as well. What do I remember about Dr. Visioli besides his slow, unbelievably thick Italian accent as he spoke English? What I remember is that Dr. Visioli weighed probably 300 pounds and that he chain smoked cigarettes throughout every appointment and examination. There was an obvious disconnect between what Dr. Visioli said and what he did. Now, it's not unusual for people to say one thing and do another. Jesus observed this about the Pharisees. Pharisees were members of a certain tradition in the Jewish faith. And Jesus said that what the Pharisees say to do is correct. But then he accused them of not practicing what they preach. Well, in that regard, Dr. Visioli was the first person I remember about whom it could be said he didn't practice what he preached. I mean, he did so much to keep our family healthy and to heal us of our ills. But he treated his own body with complete disregard for his training and skill in the field of medicine. Well, how well do we practice what we preach when it comes to biblical teachings? For instance, one of the most memorable of the Ten Commandments is what you heard a little earlier: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment goes on to explain that God fashioned the world in 6 days, but then God chose to rest on the seventh day. The Sabbath is not a break from the work of creation. The Sabbath rest is part of the creative process. Sabbath rest completes creation. Let me give you an example of the creative dimension of rest. If you saw my tie close up earlier today, you probably would figure out that I like to do the crossword puzzles, especially the Sunday crossword puzzles. And if I find that I'm stumped by one of the clues, I work on other parts of the puzzle, but eventually I have to come back to the stumper. Well, after staring at it without success, I've learned to just put down my pen and walk away. And whether I leave the puzzle for 5 minutes or 5 days, invariably, when I come back, the answer to the stumper comes to me almost immediately. So you see, taking a break, the rest, was actually part of the creative process. In our society, this weekend is regarded as the end of summertime, although you'll find that hard to believe on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday when it's still 90 degrees. Churches tend to treat the summer months like an extended Sabbath, resting from our labors. The liturgical calendar of church observances doesn't require that churches slow down in the summer, but it's the custom for the routine work of many church groups and boards. It's the custom for that work to be suspended for the summer. I mean, the complexity of the worship experience is simplified during the summer. There's no choir, for instance, no children's message. Christian religious education tends to get scaled back for the summer, the major exceptions, of course, being vacation Bible school and the mission trip experience for our youth. As you can see from the empty organ bench, Musicians and preachers and other church staff take time off during the summer for vacations. And most churches with multiple worship services reduce their schedule. Our church is unusual in actually adding a worship service to our schedule. So it's not hard to see how churches seem to treat the summer months like an extended Sabbath. The church treats summer as a time to rest from the other 9 months of creation. But now we are approaching autumn, and at this church, like at most churches I know, autumn presents a challenge to being able to practice what we preach. Because with the passing of Labor Day, the rhythm changes, the pace quickens, the calendar starts to fill, and so do the church pews to some degree. Choirs begin to gather for rehearsal. Teams and committees and groups and boards launch into their programs. They pick up their responsibilities. Classrooms vacant during the dog days of summer are repopulated with children and adults. And like the milepost markers on the interstate that just keep coming and coming and coming, we see the inevitable approach of the customary activities of the year ahead, presenting third graders with their very own Bibles, and then World Communion, and Trash and Treasure, and Stewardship Reflections, and then a clam bake, and remembering the saints of our lives, and then Harvest Sunday, and an alternative Christmas charity bazaar. And before you know it, Advent and Christmas are upon us, and then we're worshiping in fellowship hall around breakfast tables, and voila, the calendar has turned the page to a new year. Does that exhaust you? Just to think about what lies ahead in the next 4 months. And what will have happened to the whole idea of Sabbath rest for the church? It's almost like we will have worked ourselves to the bone to enhance our experience of Sabbath. A minister friend, Vicki Curtis, once wrote these words. In our culture, she writes, resting on the Sabbath is a revolutionary act. Americans are strongly influenced toward a perpetual activism inherent in competitive, production-oriented individualism. Under such pressure, we find ourselves subtly working, whether in leisure or at work, or may I add, at the church, under such pressure, we find ourselves subtly working to produce, to enhance, to maintain, to protect the buildup of self. And yet, one of the clearest directions from the Bible is for us to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. So as we turn the corner from summer to fall and we launch into what I often refer to as the program year or the school year, I encourage each of us to take time to pause, to breathe, to rest, to wait. Let's contemplate how, as a church and as individuals, we might practice what we preach. How this church reinforces and supports our desire, our need to remember the Sabbath, the routine of regular rest. By remembering the Sabbath, by providing space for a holy breath, can we avoid being squeezed by the demands of daily duties and the press of the world's events? We heard an example for us in the excerpt from Mark's Gospel that Dave read a few minutes ago. It was very brief. I don't know if you caught this. Mark wrote, very early the next morning, long before daylight, Jesus got up, left the house. He went out of town to a lonely place. where he prayed. Even Jesus understood that he couldn't simply rush from one activity to another. Whether he was teaching or preaching or healing or was going from a fish fry to a flea market, he needed to create space in his life for Sabbath. And after all, you know that some supposedly recreational or restful activities can actually add to our stresses, like trying to keep up hectic schedules of rehearsals or practices or games for our own or our children's recreation. We can actually add stress by maintaining such an active social life that it's almost like we are literally going from party to party, from function to function. Sometimes our leisure activities can wear us out. On the other hand, if you give it some thought, you can probably come up with some difficult and demanding activities that we can choose to undertake that actually feed our souls. I'll give you an example. That's been the experience of the 6 church members who have been serving on our congregation's Vitality and Renewal team since the beginning of this year. They put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of thought and discussion into their research. And yet to a person, they will tell you that this work has nurtured and energized them, giving them more hope for the future of our congregation's ministry and mission and fellowship. Now, as the pastor of this church, it might sound like I'm shooting myself in the foot, telling you not to get too involved in church activities, but that's not what I'm suggesting. Rather, I'm encouraging us to become more mindful of the need for Sabbath in our lives. What happens or doesn't happen to constitute Sabbath? And must it be on a Sunday? I mean, firefighters, police officers, nurses, physicians, many others have jobs which have them working on Sunday. But keeping the Sabbath holy doesn't have to happen only on Sundays. It can happen anytime we choose to be mindful of God's presence, how God is engaged in our world, how God is active in our lives. It's customary to appoint Sunday as the day we set aside for worship and rest from daily activities. Now, you may not realize it, but when we gather on Sundays, it's not just to rededicate ourselves to God's service, nor is it just for a brief oasis of calm in our hectic lives. Because our presence in this community is also a blessing to the others who are here. We are a blessing when we offer greetings to friend or stranger or newcomer among us. We are a blessing because we may happen to offer the words of support or comfort, or consolation, or encouragement, the words right when they're needed by someone. So whether it occurs on Sunday morning or at other times, setting aside time and action in order to gift ourselves with Sabbath might start with choices like these, like resolving not to go into the office this weekend. Like choosing not to check email or social media for a morning or a day. Like finding a classmate to go for a bike ride or for a walk with. Like, even though you look around your house, you set aside an evening when you will do no household chores. Or giving yourself time to walk the neighborhood. Just shoot the breeze with your neighbors. Or sitting on the porch or balcony or patio, reading a book, doing a crossword puzzle, listening to the crickets, watching the cars go by, watching the sunset. On this Labor Day weekend, on this eve of a new program year at our church, we're presented with a challenge and an opportunity. How can we be about God's work of praising God, teaching faith, serving others? How can we be about that work without becoming Christian workaholics? In our personal lives, as well as in the life of this church, the activities we choose to engage in can drain us or they can feed us. By observing a Sabbath rest in our personal lives and in our life as a church, we honor the gifts of God's creation, gifts of life, of time, of relationships. Amen.